That's the Friday edition of Bickley and Murata Mornings, coming to you live from the Ok Chin Community Studios. Still no resolution on the Kevin Durant front. Will we get one soon? Here to talk about that in the NBA from Sports Illustrated, Howard Beck, our guest on the Arizona Sports Line. Howard, thanks for joining the show again. How are you this morning?
Doing all right, guys. How are you? Good morning.
Well, everybody's freaking out here in Phoenix because apparently there's reports, Howard, that Kevin Durant is in Phoenix for some reason, and people are trying to get to the bottom of it. We declared the Kevin Durant to Phoenix possibilities dead on this show yesterday.
Or close.
Or close to dead. What is your thought on Phoenix and the other teams maybe lobbying for his services?
Is this like Miracle Max in The Princess Bride saying the trade's only mostly dead?
Yeah, right.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is.
I mean, it's probably that, right? Like, if you had one of those things that you could, like, you know, squeeze and it blows out the air, maybe you could reinflate the trade talks with the Suns. How many weeks has it been now since the DeAndre Ayton, you know, offer sheet that got matched and obviously taking him off the board for the foreseeable future? I think it's really hard to construct a trade without him being part of it, whether that was going to be two team, three team, eight team, whatever. And is there still some possibility? I guess, but you know, the point of the exercise for any team acquiring Kevin Durant is to compete for a championship immediately. It's not some like 3 to 5 year window or 10 year. It's now. And if you give up too much in the process, you know, you're not actually moving, you know, the ball ahead. So, and Kevin Durant's going to be mindful of that too. He's with a team that on paper is a championship caliber team right now, and he still wants out. So he's not going to want to go somewhere that lessens his chances. I don't know how they revive it. I really don't.
Yeah.
That's not to say that it's impossible, because people can get creative in this league, but I don't know how they can do it.
Yeah, you and I both know that there was a time when it was appalling enough when an NBA player would ask for a coach's head. Now you got a guy asking for a couple of heads on a platter. What do you think Kevin Durant was trying to accomplish by throwing both Sean Marks and Steve Nash under that bus? And what do you think the reaction has been to that?
I think it's pretty transparent. This isn't about trying to get the Nets to fire people. It's just still about trying to get traded. Like, he's not looking for reasons to stay. He's looking for reasons to go, and he's already said he wants to go. Like, this whole thing, and people need to use their heads. Like, and I mean us, the media and fans. Use your heads, people. If Kevin Durant's goal was to stay in Brooklyn, but with different leadership, that's a card he would have played back in April when they got eliminated in the first round by the Celtics, swept, or in May in the wake of that, or in June, or in July. Like, how are we getting to the middle of August and suddenly Kevin Durant wakes up one day and says, you know what, I might stay, but you got to fire the coach and the GM. Like, this doesn't happen this way. Like, use your heads, people. Like, there's nothing rational about this. And granted, there hasn't been anything rational about a lot of this. And, you know, people across the league, including in Brooklyn, are not clear on exactly what Kevin Durant's thought process is anyway. But if the goal were to stay but with different leadership, you would have said that right out of the gate. You wouldn't have issued a trade demand absent that. All or nothing. I just want out. Because the question would have been, wait, you want out? Well, why? And is there something we can do to fix it?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that would have been, so like June 30th, he would have said, oh, yeah, you can fix it. You can fire your coach and GM. Like, that's, why are we in August? Nobody, very rarely anyway, very, 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 very rarely do NBA teams fire coaches and GMs in August and September.
Yes.
And do searches. That it just doesn't happen. So what's the real maneuver here? It's just to throw more pressure on them, because they immediately leaked it too. The Nets aren't the ones who leaked the fact that Durant wants their top people fired. The Nets wouldn't do that. That came from Durant's camp.
Right.
I mean, some of this is very, very transparently obvious. And so why do you make the demand and then leak the demand? Because you're trying to put more pressure on them to make the trade that they haven't been able to make yet because they haven't gotten the offer that they think is worthy yet.
Howard Beck, senior writer for Sports Illustrated and co-host of the Crossover Podcast, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Now with the Boston possibilities, Philadelphia popping up as a possibility in the last couple of days. On the Boston front, Howard, I'm real hesitant, even if Kevin Durant says, yeah, I'd go to Boston. I'm hesitant if I'm the Celtics to make that deal because I think they got better this offseason and they were two games away from winning the championship. But on the Philadelphia front, how much sense does that make to you, if any at all?
I would just say, one, with all respect to you and everybody else who are discussing this, all of us in the media, nothing is new. Every team that has wanted to be in the Kevin Durant chase has probably made that known weeks and weeks ago. So things drip and drab out and little wrinkles come about, but it's not as though anything is new there. Everybody who wanted to be in this chase declared it long ago privately. Daryl Morey chases stars as a matter of habit. That's what he did in Houston. That's what he does in Philly. If there's a guy available and he's got a possible route to get him, especially if it's a top five player, Daryl's in. So, again, nothing shocking there. Yeah. The only thing that's strange about the Philly part of this is that, you know, Harden and Durant didn't exactly seem to click in their reunion in Brooklyn. And Harden, you know, then bails on them. Now, that said, stuff can be patched up really quickly in this league. Like, there aren't that many, you know, burnt bridges that can't be rebuilt if the money's right, if the deal is right, if there's a chance to win championships, all that stuff. So, and, you know, the Sixers have some assets they can work with. But, you know, if you're the Nets, you're immediately asking for, you know, you're probably not asking for Joel Embiid. That's probably not happening. But you're asking for Maxey.
Yeah.
And, you know, and a deal around him, like that's a tough one for the Sixers. But this is the case with every single trade possibility. And it's the same as you were mentioning with the Celtics. Yeah, the Celtics probably feel like they were, you know, a piece or two away from winning a championship, and now they got Brogdon, and, you know, they've got all the experience under their belts now, and they've got, you know, young guys who are still evolving. It is a tough trade-off because it's not Kevin Durant at 29. It's Kevin Durant at soon-to-be 34 next month and with a tough injury history. So, you know, it's not a no-brainer. I know we like to say, well, it's Kevin Durant, so it's a no-brainer. Do whatever you have to do to get him. He's still a top three player in the league, and all that's true. But he is 34. He is 3 years removed from an Achilles surgery. And you just can't count on a long window with him or that he's going to play anything close to a full season because he hasn't.
All right, lastly on Kevin Durant, wherever he goes, do you think he becomes even more villainous? Do you think he cares? And do you think there's a bigger broad-based concern for the NBA in a star like Kevin Durant continuing to push this player empowerment narrative to the point where he wants to walk away from a contract he just signed?
So on the latter part of it, you know, we've already had this with, you know, Paul George, you know, forcing the trade out. Now, Oklahoma was willing to trade him. They wanted to tear down anyway once Westbrook was going to be gone. But Paul George did it a year after he signed his new contract with the Thunder, and Ben Simmons did it with, you know, 4 years left. Like, it used to be a year or two left, or usually a year, because that's when you're saying, well, trade me now or I'm leaving for nothing, and that actually benefits both parties. Now it's guys routinely asking with multiple years left on their deals. That is problematic. Adam Silver has said as much at in press conferences. I don't know how they fix it. I do think it's a point of discussion for them in the union. I don't know where that goes. In terms of Kevin Durant and his being a villain, like, he's been there, done that. Like, I don't think. Clearly he's sensitive to the point where he's had burner accounts, and even with his actual accounts has gone back at people on Twitter, and he says it's just fun. He just enjoys it. But I think he's overcompensating. Like, there is some sensitivity there, and that's fine. Like, I wouldn't like all the backlash either if I were him. So I think there's some sensitivity, but I also think he's, you know, now he's done this so many times. He's bailed on Oklahoma for the Warriors. He's bailed on the Warriors for the Nets, and now he's trying to burn this bridge. And I don't know that it's anything new for him at this point. You know, like, yeah, he's already, you know, endured, you know, all of the various versions of criticism and his image changing. But, you know, look, I think depending on how you're wired, if you're an all-time great as he is, a top 10 all-time player, you should have in the back of your mind, how am I ultimately going to be remembered?